not open and surrender and surrender and surrender. And we can only surrender from the nourishment that we take in, so that we need this physical level firstly to open and relate and feel inside you this flow of food, this conscious energy that will nourish all of your chakras and allow them to open. Then when they open, you can open them, not on this level, but you open them on these higher levels, so you're taking in different kinds of energies. And as much as the flow on a physical level has property, it's crude in comparison to these higher energies. And so that our consciousness, our ability to open, has to be on many levels simultaneously. And when we talk about spiritual work, we talk about yoga, it really has to do with Einstein's theory of relativity applied to yogic principles, that you are working in space and time. And unless you are really consciously working in space and time, where you are opening on this level and this time to reach in everybody something which was, in other words, where I have with each one of you something of 5 and 10 and 50 and 100,000 years past, and one begins to open and reach inside the relationship that was and receive the content or the nourishment of the relationship that was. And this doesn't necessarily have to do with more than the type of experience we have here. Sometimes it's a little more, some people live in the house and a little closer. But really it's a question of surrendering and opening and allowing this thing to pour out of you. And it will open something in me which will pour out of me. And then this is again a Shakti experience, but it's a Shakti experience in time and space. And the nourishment that meets, you know, this way between people is really the whole reason for growing. It's the whole reason for living, because you're reconnecting. And a lot of this is in an unconscious way at the beginning, all of past karma. So that you're a person living on many levels, in many dimensions, and in many time sequences simultaneously. And we, who can't fulfill a relationship, you know, in any kind of depth, suddenly find that because I can relate to something which is so abstract, and so far in the past, and suddenly get something from here, 10,000 years ago, that will open something in the present. And it's like taking a strange vitamin that is no longer in existence, that the content of some past relationship has removed the block in the present, and I really can open and expand myself at this moment. And this is very much the reason for difficult travel too, where we really meet things which are from our past and from other places. And I'm going on the 19th to Don's place of San Francisco, then I'm going to Los Angeles. And it's very vital for me because it physically carries me from here to the other part of our country. And it psychically gives me that to identify with, so that when I'm here and I think of Don or Diane or Timothy or some of the people who live at the ashram in Piedmont, then I have expanded, you know, some 3,000 miles within myself, reaching towards them, loving them and nourishing them and perpetuating my relationship with them on every level possible, so that my frequency or the energy within me isn't limited to New York, it isn't just limited to being in Indiana, it isn't just limited to Indiana, but it really goes out that way. And the same thing that our center, which is growing in Paris, that we do this not for the collectiveness, the materialization of our life, but for the spiritualization, the expansion of our energy, and the addition of different frequencies, like some kind of a, you know, high-range radio that can play all over the world. And as we begin to reach out on this level, we expand, you know, thousands of miles physically from here to California, so then to the foundation, like some great tower, you know, can rise up into the atmosphere, so that the width of our ashram isn't limited from here to 150 miles to Virginia, but it really is from coast to coast. And so that the thing that rises has a base that is that base too. And this is very important, that the physical expansion has only to do with the capacity to hold what can rise spiritually from that much of a base. And these things have nothing to do with the mind. They have to do with an energy that can really mathematically be supported by that much of a base. So if you wanted to, in a primitive way, send your vibrations from here to the moon, you couldn't do it with a needle, in a sense, you know, because we are the accumulated energy, you know, that exists now from here to the West Coast. And so consciously, when you think of people at a distance, any of you who have people that you love, if you really increase the love that you have for them, you really open inside yourself, you have increased the base of your existence, that you exist here and there. And it's a very real way to love. It's a very right way to love. So that you have a family who lives in Florida or a family that lives in California or Alaska, that you open to them, you increase this capacity within yourself, you know, to really exist on a physical level. And then you can rise from that, from this enormous space, instead of this ego thing that exists with people where they try to grow. And the person who is very egocentric, who grows, is so wrapped in himself that his base becomes really like an eagle. And so that he may go up in space and he may have a spiritual life, but this eventually has to make him fall because there's nothing supporting him. And we grow only by what we take as responsibility and discipline and that which we are willing to support. So that our base becomes the consciousness on a physical level that supports the spiritual increase on higher levels, and it goes on and on and on this way. Is there anyone who has a question? Yes. Yeah, of course, it's true. It's true. Well, it isn't even subhuman. It's not grown, you know? It's not grown, and it's really very real. But the whole thing is so funny because, you know, people always expect young people, you have to be, you know, over 30 years dead. Well, in one sense, it's true, but it's really, you have to become at least 30 to become mature, to have a sense of development on a human level, to have feelings, to really have respect for other people and gratitude, all of these things. But you conceive it only because you're about to do something about it. And these things, we only are free to feel the lack in ourselves when we have also developed to the point where we can really feel that void. So when you feel these things, you feel a lack of humanity in yourself, then you should act and try to become a better person. And not that the instinct is there to do it. It isn't there. The instinct is to suffer feeling an animal in yourself or feeling incomplete. But it's really just doing something right. Just doing the right thing. Yeah? For no other reason than you know it's the right thing. And then that will sprout. Because how can you have a benefit of something, you know, that isn't in existence for you? Do you understand? You can't receive what a human being has when you're not a human being. So you act like a human being and you go through the paces. You do this for a couple of months and suddenly little sprouts will take place as a human being and you start to receive the rewards of being a human being. But the whole instinct, and you see this particularly in the Orient, where everybody who, you know, has any kind of little development or big development always wants to come to America. I mean, every Buddhist and every Hindu. And it's an unconscious reaction to this principle of being in more than one place or expanding the base of your operation. And many, many people do it, some successfully, some not successfully. But the reason for doing it should be to increase your spirituality. Because either it materializes, you know, or it spiritualizes. It's very difficult, and the need in people to extend usually expresses itself in material growth. And about 2 months ago, I realized that, you know, this year will be a tremendous year of physical expansion for me and an increase of spiritual growth. And there's only one way for it to be possible to do both successfully, and that is to give away most of everything that I earn. And it was for me a very easy and very wonderful reaction. And I realized I really don't need anyway, and I'm really glad to do it. So that the expression of my growth will be, you know, making and doing a lot of things. But I'll give it to the ashram, I'll give it to begin, you know, give it to our ashrams in Texas and Indiana. And these things are, they're non-profit organizations, but they're not in my name. I mean, there's nothing that I could ever retrieve from it, and I'm not looking to retrieve from it. I'm looking to give it in a way where it does good. But I don't want to crystallize because of the expansion of this base. I need the base. I consciously understand the need for the base. But the need for the base is only to increase my capacity to grow spiritually. And the way of keeping that base from choking me to death is to really keep it empty so that it becomes a reservoir that can fill up continually. And the only way to make it fill up continually is to keep emptying it out. I'm going to spend my whole life, you know, having these rains in the mountains fill the reservoir, and I'm going to make sure that I have enough to, you know, drain that reservoir into. And it really is like wanting to love and then, you know, loving and letting the things flow out, and then you again have an experience. But we can't in ourselves have anything that we can't surrender. We in no way can function on any level if we become filled with that level. Because there is this thing of actually scientifically and practically that you can't fill something that is already filled. And the defensiveness in people, the need to hold on to something and not really be able to serve it, is that which keeps this flow from taking place. So you empty out, this thing can come in from God, this energy can come in, but by serving God, not by serving yourself. So if in you, you know, you really want a lot, then you really have to start, you know, getting rid of inside you this congestion. You can't try to fill yourself with spiritual energy, which is very light, when you have in your life this tremendous heaviness that really can't absorb and mix with the spiritual force. So that those of you who have great emotional problems, you have to really stop, you know, playing that game, because you are not satisfying yourself emotionally. You're just congested. And the same with material level too. I mean, these things exist because you are filled with, you know, the materialization of what you think you want that stops you from having what you want. You can't have anything that possesses you. It's impossible. It's only through flow, through surrender, that things are possible. And very difficult, because the insecurity in a human being is what makes them clutch to something to fulfill themselves, and so people are stuck with all of the anxieties and tensions of their illusions, and because of that they can't really let go. It's like someone with paralysis, you know, or rheumatism, and they're filled with the tensions that keep them from opening, and what they need is just to love and have a higher, finer flow goes through them. And they keep whining and telling, look, they keep showing this crippled hand, and I can't do anything. And you know, they stop whining, you know, and relax a little bit, and open here, and love a little bit. This thing will open up. But you perpetuate endlessly the same whine, the same cry. And it's the same thing when you're here. You're here for one reason, just really drink in the force and feel it going through the chakras, you know. And what I say is very, very secondary to the act that you should be performing here, which is drinking in consciously. You really can tap me with your eyes and inside it, just drink and drink and drink. And have the thing marinate you so you can flush out you know, all the crystallization and tension that exists in you. And it's very real. And the only thing that is real, and you really try to feel this energy spread in your heart, spread through your mind, spread through your throat, spread through all the chakras, through your sexual organ. Then get the energy up to the top of your head and feel your shoulders, feel the tension in you. And see if it's flowing. If it's flowing and your heart's very open, then you are in condition to live consciously. Otherwise, yes. That happens at times. That happens at times, but eventually it should be going on all the time. I mean, it's like somebody in their own kitchen canning tomatoes. You understand? You have to heat the jar, and then you go to the pot and pour a cup of tomatoes in, and you seal it. Right? You're only doing one act at a time because it hasn't gone into a process. You know? When you go into American Can Company and they're canning tomatoes, it's going to go bang, 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 right? It'll happen eventually. You'll be really working inside like that. You haven't developed the mechanism yet. So you're still in a little hand operation, yeah? And it's really what it is. The more you grow, the quicker the process of assimilation goes. But you can only take in so much in your heart at this time, you know? And you're busy, you know, you're in the back room packing, you know, packing the cake, you know? And you do this or that, or this or that. Understand? And you don't feel anything in your back putting labels on. Well, later you'll be able to do all of these acts simultaneously. So the flow coming in, you know, will be constant, and all these other processes will be going on simultaneously. Does anyone else have a question? Yes.
I have a tough time keeping up with my external reality because things change inside me. My wants change outside where I want to go.
Well, you want a lot of things right now. Many, many things, you know, besides the spiritual one. And it's very hard.
That's what I mean, yeah.
It's very hard. No, but then again, it's the same kind of a principle. And you want this, and you want this, and you want this. So when you go from packing tomatoes, you know, to packing tuna fish, you got to tear down the factory, right? Put in a whole new factory and start on this. And then you want canned chicken, you know? You got to get rid of this factory. And that's really what we do when, you know, as we work. We really have a whole changeover in the mechanism, unconsciously, you know? Yeah, and this is why when we sit and we meditate, we have given up a half hour to get in this kind of a mechanism, do a particular thing. Well, in life, when you're so splintered that you have 50 things that you want to do, yeah? You do this or this, right? Or this or this. Well, there's a very simple solution, you know? If you want to pack tomatoes and tuna fish and chicken, make a 3-floor factory. You understand?
No.
You can make a 3-floor factory where you can really expand your consciousness that on one floor you're packing tomatoes, on one floor you're packing tuna fish, and on one floor you're packing chicken. Who said that you have to have one factory which has to be torn down, right? So that your attention is so limited, you can only do this or this or this. I mean, I can have 6 people sitting in a store who I am attached to spiritually, and I'm working with and nourishing while I'm selling somebody a piece and somebody else something else, and my mother's trying to get somebody off the chair so she can look up an old postage stamp. I mean, you know, and this thing goes on all the time, and if I get mad with my mother, then I dump these other 3 things, or if I get upset with the students, then I dump these other things. And it's really our ability to separate in ourselves and do 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 things simultaneously. I mean, I was sitting a couple of months ago with one of the people in the class and really working and making the deepest connection with this person ever made. And the phone rang, and it was Philadelphia Museum, and they had committed themselves to a piece for $3,500, or some amount like that, which I needed at that moment very much. And the woman said, "I'm sorry, I changed my mind, and I'll see you in a couple of months," and hung up. And I looked at this person and said, "Ridiculous. That has nothing to do with that." And if I identify with this commercial aspect of my life and lose the connection with this person, then what am I? Where's my value? You know? And why should it cost me money and the student? It's so stupid. You understand? And so we always do that. You suddenly don't get the job that you want, so then you fight and lose your girlfriend, and then you don't pay your rent, and they throw you out. You know? So you perpetuate. You have to show how bad one thing is that it can infect a lot of other things. Yeah? Doesn't make sense.
I was thinking more along with the commitment.
I know. Yeah. I know that. But you make a commitment at the expense of something else. And it shouldn't be, because it should be, the commitment should come within the scope of your capacity to do everything. A man shouldn't be limited in the sense that he can do this or that. You don't have to kill this to do this, or kill this to do this. You can do all three things. You can have your commitment, you can have your career, you can have your life. But it's a limitation in the mind of people because they cannot conceive that they can do these things. And, you know, I always use the very basic example of a man and a woman who love each other tremendously. And then they have a child, and then they both agree that they have to give up their love for each other, and this is unconsciously because of the child. So the child becomes the substitute for their relationship. And they lose more and more of their relationship because of the child. The child never said it's a man and man. If they respected and loved each other, then the child would get the psychic overflow, which is a blending of their souls, would feed the child. That would make a much healthier child than their, you know, really, you know, they have given up each other for this other thing instead of having an additional energy, an additional love rise in them. You understand? And then the child goes away or something happens, what's left? You have destroyed one thing for something else. And it's not necessary in life. I mean, you have to try to grow and transcend everything. You may have to trim back a little bit here or there, you know, but that's more than enough to live with. Yes.
So what's the function of ego in spiritual life?
Ego, in a sense, the soul, you know, is very deeply hidden inside a human being. And the reason you can't reach it is that it's either exposed, in which case it's developed where it can protect itself, or you have this ego, you know, this kind of madness. So as you grow spiritually, it's like the cloud being over the sun, right? As you grow, slowly this light comes out, right? The ego is slowly removed, this protection, because the soul can only exist with consciousness. So that any human being who lives without ego, without this protection, you know? And really, a strong ego, it means strong soul. Because the stronger the soul content, the more the ego is to protect it. And it's really like, it's completely diametrically opposed energies, you know? So one supports the other. So you have to make, have become more conscious to protect the soul. So as you grow consciously and spiritually, the ego slowly moves away and the soul can come out. It means that you can live like a human being and this thing can afford to be exposed. I mean, you can't take the soul to an endless amount of cocktail parties and orgies, you know? It can't, it would die. So until one develops, the soul will not come out because it really is a conscious mechanism. And once it starts to come out, and you live against it, you pay a tremendous, tremendous price. You really do. I mean, you'll suffer unbelievably. And the suffering is just saying, "I cannot live this life." You understand? And it's trying to tell you. And that's what suffering is. It's what pain is. It's trying to say, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Listen to me." And so what are we doing? We start, instead of listening, we, you know, bury it. We really stifle it. We muffle these voices. And this is what your chemistry is. Your body is really constantly trying to tell you what it needs, how it has to live. And so as you grow and as you, in a sense, live more like a human being, the soul comes out more and more and more. Yes?
Is it possible to just almost forcibly take this ego and just throw it out of the way?
No.
Shatter it?
You can shatter it, and then you can get, then you go out and glue it together. You know? So you'll have a split ego, or, you know, like a piece of clay. It doesn't really, you know, I mean, beating it and doing all these things to it doesn't take care of it permanently. It really doesn't. By really surrendering inside and taking in energy and love and consciousness and being responsible as a human being. I mean, what makes a good dog, right? Right? When you take the trouble to housebreak an animal, like you really make it into a responsible animal. It doesn't shit on the floor, it doesn't piss on the floor, it doesn't chew the furniture, it doesn't... This takes training and discipline, right? Right? And then you teach it, you know, to heal, you teach it to curb, you teach it to do all these things that make it into a domestic animal, a healthy, adjusted animal. Of course the dog wants to be outside and run and kill deer and everything else if you allow it to do that. It becomes what you allow. And we also become what we allow within ourselves. Or a child the same way. And the child tests every second of its existence.
Bringing it up our spinal column and filling us, and then also doing you should do this at least once a week, or if you're under very great tension, every day for a few minutes, just really keeping your hands outside and asking deeply to surrender negative psychic tensions. So when you begin to feel this flow coming through your fingers and you take a deep breath, you can feel this gummy stuff, just like the scum off the top of the soup coming through you. And it really has to do with the breaking down inside of patterns and the molecular glue, this thing that holds together these patterns in you, to allow this to wash out. So that you have made the end. You have paid so many times in your life, all of you, for a particular thing, and you grow basically from here to the ceiling, and you ripped everything out, and it's been shredded, and then you stop working, and a month later, this thing is all back within itself. It's always back to the way it was because you have never gotten rid of this cohesiveness and this adhesiveness that holds you together in these patterns. So when you work, you have to surrender this byproduct of breaking down, which has to do with the chaining, the molecularity of your chemistry. Because what does it refining something and then have life do like it does with a job of salvaging? It shakes you up again. And it all becomes the same thing endlessly. So you have to begin to be very aware, deeply in yourself, that changing is not for an objective, it is for changing. Because as you break down that within you, within your tissue, within your whole body, these chainings take place, the breaking down of these chains, and you let out just enough of this tense energy, this negative psychic tension. You don't get rid of tensions, you don't get rid of psychic tension, you get rid of negative psychic tension, you're getting rid of this little glue that holds the spring within you. And the work has to be consciously, again and again, to take in more energy, expand, and then break it down and release it. So that in the middle of a very hard day or week or tremendous emotional time, you are suffering and burning out or boiling, and you feel all these things ripping and tearing in you, and you don't get rid of this byproduct, this stuff, then your work is for nothing. Because it will reform exactly as it was over and over and over again. And you see this in outside life, where people repeat patterns endlessly. They learn that they're wrong. They consciously can see where they're wrong. But they never, ever get free from patterns. And it's not their wish, it's their limitation. They do not break down this glue that holds them. Because inside you, it stays the way it was, except it becomes free, it becomes a liquid instead of a solid. But when you really ask to release these negative psychic tensions, you are taking and changing the chemistry of this level, and so it never forms again, and you are open, you're free. And you must remember to do it. I mean, I had somebody came by today, and I could feel the tension, and I said, look, I know you've had a very hard time. Have you done this? Oh, I haven't done it for 6 or 7 weeks. You put a pressure on yourself which is absolutely unnecessary. And if you have to leave a note on your dresser or when you shave or wash in the morning, and you really ask yourself, as well as you flush a toilet to get rid of this physical poison that comes through your body, you have to consciously flush out of yourself this negative psychic tension. This is part of a breaking down of your limit. And it lets you understand that nothing ever disappears from a human being unless he consciously surrenders it. It does not go away. You have to really will it away. You have to consciously work it away. And so when you have a very difficult time, you can really make an effective change thousands of times faster by really surrendering, you know, this molecular thing. And I sat this week almost for 2 or 3 hours because I was burning. And I really just let this thing pour out of me. Sometimes I could feel it pouring out. Sometimes I felt it was pouring out. Sometimes I wished it was pouring out. But I just was trying in every way possible to let it out. And really, finally, it changed today. And as these things change, you understand, as you work deeper and deeper and deeper inside yourself, that it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with it. It is a state of being that we're working towards. And it keeps you boiling long enough. It keeps you breaking long enough. It keeps you going through all these processes long enough. You can only be prepared to be released at certain times. Now, released on what level has to do really with the consciousness and your ability about making you sit. You don't do nothing. you have to sit inside yourself and really understand that you want that, that's your objective, you know? And you can only bring in and flush out and bring in and flush out until you refine your inner mechanism. Because for almost everyone who walks along the street, you are looking at people who are not developed, period. And we talk about this one is psychic and this one is spiritual, but I once had a great classic for a man who was a teacher. He wasn't a great teacher. Somebody once came and they said, why did you tell this man that he was, you know, really very great? And he was going all over telling people that he was telling them how great he was. And he said, yes, he's great on a doors level. And this is really what most of this competition is about. You're competing with a very low level of life and a very low level of spiritual realization. And that kind of competition in no way should ever afford any of you a sense of grace and a sense of release or a sense of achievement. It's no different than trying to work next to a crippled person who's blind and feeling that you can work faster than they can. We cannot ever accept our achievements based on somebody else's ability to do or ability to not do. Because in every sense, the world is a very crippled place. And the expression of that is really what is done, not a thing like the United Nations, which is not there for anybody's benefit except the countries who represent it. It's another stock exchange. It buys and sells all day long power and, you know, spheres of influence. They're trading off oil here and coal there and something else somewhere else. And we think of real peace movements, these things almost don't exist. A lot of you are very naive and you're willing to be used tremendously. But all of these things that exist, whether they're from the right or the left or the middle, are all done by very rich people gathering forces. There is no good except in you and your own ability to break down the tension in you and rise above yourself. And all of these things exist because there are people and powers that want them to exist. You as an individual have an opportunity which is very rare because you're so insignificant. You can really rise and grow and really have a wonderful, happy, magnificently beautiful and joyous life and be realized and be really free of all of this. I mean, I stopped the other day, one of the local police guys was outside the Woolworths, and I said, and what happened there? And he came this whole thing of the firebombing and the A&T and about this and about that. He went on and on about the groups behind the groups and naming all the biggest names in our country. And he could be 100% right, and it doesn't make any difference to me. Because on the other side are the same idiots with all of their prestige do exactly the same thing for completely different reasons. To be identified with all kinds of things that you in no way can free yourself from, this represents another kind of dread. But to be above it, to be consciously above it, and to really be happy in yourself, this is to give one thing that's desperately needed by many people, that you can look at somebody and open your heart and breathe out a smile at them that gives them mercy. To give someone a little peace. This is the rare thing that this world needs. It does not need another party. It does not need another peace movement. It does not need another anything. It needs all of you growing and realizing that within yourself is a really vital ingredient that is needed in the world. Where you can smell, the air will become cleaner, the pollution will cease being. And the pollution that exists is the bad thing inside people that is giving off a gray cloud, some kind of a mustard gas that comes from the soul of most people. And somebody up there says, ah, this is me, I am an enlightened being. And you see this shit coming out and going into people and tearing them apart. And you, in your own growth, you know, have a chance by surrendering and surrendering and surrendering and working to transcend one level after the other. And it really is with your own attachment to God, not your attachment to me, or to anyone, please keep your hands up. But your sense of freedom coming only from the highest of all places, and then the highest expression of spirituality, and we use the word God in that sense. But there are forces on forces and worlds and dimensions beyond number. And I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And believe me, I don't pay any attention to them anymore than I can pay attention to someone picking up cigarette butts in the street. Because every one of them just represents another level of energy. And if you wish to attain in your life what you want, then none of these levels can have meaning. It's only that level that's thing that you can relate to that is so far beyond yourself as an energy form. You don't have to buy it as God, you don't have to buy it as anything, but just as a refined energy which you can open inside yourself and wash through all of the stuff which is stuck. You're all crystallized by, not this life, by dozens and dozens of past lives where you have never had enough love, and this is why you're here. Because the earth is a place where all the defective chakras and energy centers come to be repaired. And the only thing that can repair them is by being open to this energy which can flow through you. And getting caught up in your mind is the best way that it not happens. There is no book ever written which really has to do with truth. There is no book ever written which has to do with a higher realization. Because nobody can probably put that into words, this extraordinary quantity. You can only feel it in yourself, level by level, and level by level, and level by level. And if you work very hard, then you'll be fortunate enough to come back and be able to start again, or maybe by some miracle, get through it. But all of these things are just a fool's kind of goal that gives you a level that you think is it, and so you identify with that, and that finally is what stops you. The thing that you look at a particular level as the outside level, or the thing which finally brings attainment, is absolutely not true. I mean, if you really leave the top open and you work very, very hard, you will 10 and 15 years from now accelerate at such an extraordinary rate that you will do in one day what you couldn't do in 30 years. And I'm very, very sincere about that. If I just went through the last 10 days, what took me 14 years unsuccessfully to resolve, and I was able to resolve it myself in really a short period of less than 2 weeks. And have gotten out of it a million times more, and was able to function and to be grateful and to be able to surrender it too. And this is finally what we're working for, to really grow and grow and function while we're growing. Life is very difficult for every human being. And all of you who feel unique in the sense that you suffer, then you now understand that everybody suffers. Everyone suffers tremendously. And when you can accept your own suffering and realize it is for purpose, that you can move from one stage to another, one rung on a ladder to another, and you can accept this and take these steps. Not to suffer and stand there looking up at this ladder like an idiot. And a lot of you do that. You stand there and you are just like some Jew against the railing wall, lamenting and crying and lamenting and crying. But if you put a ladder against the wall, you can step on it and climb over and finally achieve something. This thing of accepting without a reward is one of the most unbelievable stupidities I've ever heard in my life. And every time I've ever studied anywhere, the thing that's always drilled into your head is that you work and you don't expect. I don't accept it, I can't possibly believe it. You work and you expect everything. You are open for everything. You really should grow. Life should be remarkable. It should be beautiful, it should be joyous, it should be filled with all of the goodness in life. Because finally in this existence, you have to be tested with everything, whether it's a person or money or power or anything else. You have to be able to open your hands and let go. And it's this thing, you have to, and you can only surrender that which you have. I mean, a beggar cannot surrender money, somebody who is by himself cannot surrender a person that he loves, and someone who has power can only surrender that power. And you all must realize you have to be extraordinarily successful and prove what you think you are willing to do now when you don't have, you prove by doing what you have. Because to really achieve in this life is to do and have everything and stay free. These are only the real temptations and the real realities of our existence. Not to sit there and, you know, be on the bus and the subway and look at people driving by in their own voice and be just unhappy. You be inside and see whether you can give away your Rolls Royce for some child who's starving in Africa. Then you have begun to learn what it is to be a human being. But unless you have it and you can give it up, you have no right to talk. And you walk to us like millionaires and you act like beggars and you don't even respect the things that are given you as part of your being here or being anywhere else. And it's very, very unfortunate. Until you respect somebody else's thing, somebody else's energy, as if it was sacred, then there's no understanding, and there's no compassion, and no anything else. And to come with stupid questions, to come not prepared to work inside, to really not be in a deep sense and surrender, to allow the energy to come in and fill you, so that you really can be open, so you really have something to give up. This is just a coward's way, to be in here projecting from your head some kind of madness, and thinking that you're doing, instead of really being open and letting the force through you. You can't open unless it's filling you in your heart, and your heart opens and opens and opens and opens and opens. From the top of your head, these great illusions of grandeur, what you would do. But unless you can feel the energy really filling your heart and spreading and spreading and spreading and spreading, and then coming down into the lower chakras and opening and opening and opening.